before the prophet comes, I want to tell you just a little story. You've heard some of this before. Pastor Phil and Pastor Carrie Vance pastor the church that Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry and I helped along, my wife and I and several others, plant in Pullman, called Living Faith Fellowship. They began to tell us with great excitement about this really precious man of God. His name is Prophet Rich Flores. And they began to talk about him, and we got more and more excited. And they said, "You got to meet him." We said, "We want to. We're looking forward to it." And the Lord, so you know, he may not say this, share this with you, but our friend has a 9-month schedule. He's booked 9 months ahead of time. And this was the only window that he had. And we talked about this 10 days ago, and the Lord put on his heart to come be with us. I, for one, am grateful. How about you? He had a calling of God on his life from the time he was a little boy, consecrated to Jesus, served the Lord passionately. He's been around the world ministering the presence and the Word of God, and had hands laid upon him, prophecies over him. And so Prophet Rich is here this morning. We like the real deal, guys. We like the real Jesus, and we like the real calling from a real God on a real precious man of God. Let's welcome Prophet Rich Flores, shall we? Oh, and while you're welcoming him, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Prophet Rich. Happy birthday to you. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be in this area. I had an opportunity to have a long conversation with your pastor and his wife, and I have been so blessed that this state has taken in our ministry and deliberately have ministered throughout the last 10 years, you know, the whole Yakima area, the northern parts of Moses Lake, Spokane, up on the outskirts of Walla Walla, and the whole center of the Seattle area, and up to Bellingham and Olympia. And it's just for 10 years we've been coming and going, and I was telling the pastor that a couple of years ago, I was in SeaTac getting ready to head home. I looked over the horizon, over the harbor, and I stretched my hand. And he said, "Lord, I thank you, God, that somehow I'll go and minister in that area." And they claim and declare that the day will come. Not knowing that you have to take a ferry to get all the way up here. But it's been such a blessing, man, and to be able to come and meet this wonderful couple. He didn't finish telling you the whole story. I was actually, this weekend, I was scheduled to be at the Super Bowl. Yes, and but the Cowboys didn't win. So whoever was going to pay for all these expenses dodged a bullet, ain't Jesus. So that's why the whole weekend was set aside, and I was not supposed to do anything. And since it fell on my birthday also, that's the way we call them in Spanish. The wifa is a wife. You got to be careful when you say wifa. The Bluetooth and the computer and everything comes on now, but some of you get it later. Anyway, that's the Spanish word for wife. And you see, Texans really don't know any Spanish. A Tejano doesn't know really Spanish. Everything that's English, he tries to make it sound like it's Spanish. Yeah. You know, like park the car. We use the word, our word is parque el carro. There's no such thing. There's no dictionary for it, you know. So there's a lot of words that we use that are Spanish. That way. Anyway, so that was what was going to happen this weekend. And I started, maybe it was my birthday to stay home. But a few weeks, I'm going to say, a few weeks back, in December, they paid for me and my wife to be able to stay up 10 days up in a Quarter Lane resort in Idaho. And so we spent our vacation there. It was beautiful, wonderful. And it was then that Pastor Phil told me about your ministry. And I said, yeah, well, I'll take the number. And so I took the number, not knowing that the Spirit of the Lord during that time told me, when you get home, I want you to give him a call. And as soon as I gave the man of God a call, I felt in my deep down in my soul that I was supposed to make room for him. And I looked at my schedule and said, Lord, I said, Lord, I can't give him the Super Bowl days, Lord. That's just not of God, But little did I know that Dallas was not going to make it. So.
Thank you, Lord.
But God knew everything. Let me see the hands of those that says, I need the Spirit of the Lord to speak to me this morning. Come on, hi.
Yes.
The Lord speak to you. Put your hand up. I want you to be very honest with yourself. How many need healing? Raise your hand high. How many need healing in your finances? I see a sister raising her leg too. Oh, yeah. Well, the Lord told me this morning, I had some other things that I wanted to speak on, but the Holy Spirit said, no, you're going to speak on healing this morning. This ministry is well known throughout the, I can actually say throughout the world now, that when I've prayed for countless of people, have healed from their blood. I constantly say, if God can heal you from your blood, what can he not heal you from? What's the exception? There's nothing that God won't do. So I'm believing that you will receive your healing. And even the smallest things that are not very important to people, they're very important to God. And I'm believing God for your healing today. But I do so many things. After I finished training Marines in San Diego, California, I during that time I started my career, and my career was as a comedian. And I was doing very well, but little did I know that also God had other plans. That the comedy and then the music. I have 7 international recordings worldwide now. I've sold over 1 million copies, each one of them now. And so, and I don't say that with prideful heart, right? I'm telling you that God has greater plans than we have. And little did I know that one day I would walk in this office, It took me forever to finish my education. Last year, actually, believe it or not, I finished my education. At the University of Arizona, I got my doctor's, finally, for so long. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just telling you that what God, even in my later years, I don't know, for some reason the scripture says the former rain, the later rain is better than the former rain for some reason. And some of you might not understand that, but I'm telling you, some of you do understand. In your later years now, look what God is doing in your life. When everybody thought that you're supposed to be going out the door, look what God is doing with you. Come on now. I'm up to 2 more recordings, and one of them is already scheduled to be put next year or by the end of this year. And I'm supposed to record in Tennessee, And so it's a lot of things, that God is doing. Don't ever let go of your vision.
Amen.
Don't ever let go of your vision. God has great plans for you. Amen. If you would come with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 90 and verse, you can scroll down if you're using your phone or your pads, down to verse 10. We love you, Jesus. I still hear some rattling. Somebody's still looking for him and wait for him. Everybody found? Verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. A score is 20. And if I read in the strength, there are 80 years. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. But look what it says. Don't worry too much about it. For soon it is cut off. Somebody say it with me. And we fly away. I can go home already now. Look at that. Don't worry about it. Don't get caught up in all the rhetoric about old age. I once heard an old man who says, come here, prophet. What do you want to do? He said, I want to live a long life. He looked at me and says, okay, but old age is not for wimps, okay? I'm beginning to get a taste of it about right now. I turned 59 yesterday, so I'm beginning to feel up. I know what the man of God was saying. Would you stretch your hand towards me? You can put your Bibles down if you want to. And you're going to ask the Lord, Lord, speak to me. Not to my neighbor. Not to my spouse, Father, to me. This is your hour now, Holy Spirit. I give you the pulpit now, Lord. I no longer, Father, am in control, Father. You're in control now, Lord. There are people that you have an appointment with them, Father, this morning, Lord. A word in season, Lord. I know this morning, Father, I'm in your perfect will, Lord. I thank you for the healing, Lord. I command now and I call for the angel that's in charge of all the parts in the warehouses in heaven, Lord. To release now countless of body parts, Father. Interior and exterior, Father. For the healing of your people, Father, this morning, Lord. And I thank you now that your angels, Father, were going forth now, Lord, to make it happen right now, Lord. And somebody said, amen.
Amen.
You may have your seat for a little while. Love you, Jesus. One score is 20 years. Two scores, say it with me, it's 40 years. Three scores. And 10, 70. And by reason of strength, I like the Hebrew. The Hebrew Bible says, and by reason of good health. In other words, if you take care of yourself, you know, I will give you up to 80 years or more to be able to live. I love this scripture because it's actually telling you that God gives you 70 years. On the face of the years are given to you. They're yours. They're mine. Here, you can live 70 years. And you can claim those years for yourself. And you are not supposed to die. Oh, let me say it again. You are not to die before your 70 years. This is what it actually is, what he's telling you. That God gives you the 70 years for you to take and live. I like what the scripture says. And it says, the wise man laid it. The wise man left an inheritance for his children's children. And you hear that word a lot. Children's children. And I will bless your children's children. And I will bless the seed after you, your children's children. And continue to hear that word in the Bible. I come to understand what actually he was saying is that God wants all of you to live 70 years because he wants us all of us to be grandparents. Come on, grandparents, say amen. I know a lot of you know what I'm talking about. There's something about the grandparents, you know, about grandkids. Come on, help me out, man. There's something about grandkids, you know. I have two granddaughters, one 6'5", and just barely a year and a half, now I have a son, you know, my heir to everything that I have. I tell everybody, if I could have had him first, but I had my grandkids first, it would be wonderful, hallelujah. You know, you want your kids, your grandkids, it's the ones you want them to spend your money. Say amen, somebody understand what I'm talking about, you know. That's the one that you want to, you know, and something about grandkids, you don't want nobody to touch them. You want nobody to say nothing to them. They're so perfect in your eyes. They cannot do no wrong. Somebody say, you know, if the kid, you know, sometimes you want to spank them, but you won't spank them because they're yours, but they're not yours. And you don't want to get in trouble. I tell everybody the beauty about grandkids is that once you get tired of them, vámonos todos, you can run them all home and then get rid of them all. Vámonos toda la bola, let's get out of here. You know? And that's what I love about grandkids. You know, something special. Somebody say healing.
Healing.
I've traveled the world many times in many places. And I've had the opportunity to meet many women and men of God and stayed at some of their houses. Unfortunately, nowadays, it's hard for me to stay at anybody's house because of the prophetic word. You know, I'll speak a word and before you know it, you know, leaders think that the pastor's already told me everything or something. And so I have to be real careful today about that. You know? And so I think twice when they tell me, you're going to stay at our house. But I've stayed in many, many houses throughout the journey or the pilgrimage. And I've gone to houses where I said, Pastor, where's you? Oh, no. My room is way at the end of the house over there. But I don't see your spouse go that way. Oh, no, she lives way on the other side of the house. Yes. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it is not to be that way.
Right. Amen.
Scripture says to death, do us fall. You are not to live that way. You are to love each other to the very, very end. Am I speaking to anybody?
You
are to love each other and care for each other. Man, I like what it says to men. To men, it says that you should love your wife as yourself. Let me tell you something, sisters. We men, we really love ourselves. Hallelujah. Everything has to be perfect, man. I mean, everything about us has to be perfect. We'll look in the mirror, and everything has to be perfect, man. Pants have to be right there. Hidden right there where the shoe is, you see that? Look at that. Have to be right there. Look at that. Don't move from there. Look at it. Won't move from there. See that? Look at the coat. Look. The coat's right there. Look at it. Just keep your eye on it. Look at it. We'll be in a mirror, man. I had a brother, man. He loved himself, man. We go out shopping. I was shopping and you know the reflection from the windows store. The funny part about this, he's the ugliest one of all.
Perfect.
I don't understand that, okay? You cannot tell him either. You ever seen a truck with the doors open? That's the way his ears are, man. It's just, yeah, this huge. Even when he does this, you know, his ears move a little, you know, and it's kind of clenched a little bit. One time he tells me, hey, Rich, can you hear that? I said, what? What you're saying? He said, where? In New Jersey. That's not right. But it's funny. It shouldn't be that way. It even goes further in another scripture. It says that it's talking to men. I'm in the same boat here with you guys. It says we don't treat our spouse right, that our prayers are hindered. Like actually God puts a deaf ear to us. And God even pushes it even further out. I read a scripture that says that if a man loses his marriage, that God doesn't even blame the woman. He blames the man. That he couldn't keep his home together. That he was the head of the household. That he was the priest of his home. And he didn't keep his home. When I read those, I said, Lord, I don't want my prayers hindered. Can you imagine that you're praying, and you understand what things don't, there's no answer to your prayer. If you're getting quiet in this Presbyterian church, I don't know where you are. Somebody say healing.
Healing.
Somebody's marriage needs to be healed. I don't care how old you are. If Abraham could lay with Sarah at 100 years old, I don't think anybody's close. Might be close, but I don't think it's 100. Some just look like 100, but you know. I had uncles married at 40, man. They looked like 50 years on 50 miles of bad road, you know. You're to love each other. My younger brothers started becoming grandparents. And the olders were not becoming grandparents. I hit 50, 51, 52. Starting to wonder what's going on. All my younger brothers, they got 3 or 4 grandkids already, you know. And just when I thought that probably wouldn't happen for us, one day my son called and said, Dad, no one speaks to Dad. We're pregnant. And I like to think, it's like a gift that God gives you, because throughout the years, your careers and the family and the commotion and, you know, the volunteering and all these things that you get involved in, it, before you know it, you start to separate and drift away from each other. That kiss in the morning, it becomes a routine, and, you know, before you know it, you don't. Fell apart from each other, and the passion that you used to have for each other is nowhere near as strong as it used to be. And you don't do it on purpose. You didn't will it on your marriage. You didn't plan on that to happen. It just happens. And then all of a sudden, God gives you grandkids. And it starts all over again. Man, you're in the store like kids again. Thank you. Oh, look at it. My son says, that's not the same father I knew.
Isn't that great? That's so great.
He walks into my office, and my grandkids on top of my desk. And the other girls are tearing up everything on the side of them. And I'm writing away, you know, my bill, my bills. And my son got to the stands on the door. And my son's a former Marine officer. And then he looks inside and he says, this is wrong. And I took my glasses and said, what's wrong, huh, Daddy? He said, Dad, this. My son's name, after my grandson, Richard Ezra, and my son's name is Richard also, or Ricardo, and he said, this is wrong, Dad. I said, what's wrong? And they all froze there. My kids froze. We'll see what's going on. He says, look at Ezra, Dad. It's on top of your desk with all your pins. Sipping in your coffee. What's wrong with that? I said. I said, Dad, you don't even let me touch your desk. Before you know it, our love for each other starts growing stronger and stronger. Our love and our passion for my wife. Our wrinkles and our gray hair just don't matter no more. Don't matter no more. All you want that back. When that hits you, that love is strong. It brings healing to you. Like medicine. I know what you're thinking. I guess I gotta go home and carry all my stuff to the other room now. Years, by reason of strength, if you take care of yourself. You know, take care of yourself. Go for a walk. Get back on that thing. Change the way that you eat. Don't get me wrong. I love good food. And probably we're going to have some good food because of the Super Bowl. I like to reward myself. I'm a firm believer. You work hard, and you play. You play hard. I believe that. Firm believer of that. But we take care of yourself. Yeah. Watch what you eat. I challenge you to find more. Instead of so many pills and find natural stuff. Return back to the dust where we came from. That's healing for you. I don't have to tell you. Some of you understand what I'm talking about. You know? God gave us the earth. He gave us the leaves from the trees for the healing of the nations. That's healing for you. Healing for me. 70 years. Somebody told me, Prophet, I don't understand. Here, I'm not even 40 years old. Most commonly, I have to go to the hospital and recetas and, you know, remedies and pills and everything, and appointments and everything. If I'm supposed to live 70 years, why am I always so sick? I told him, I'll tell you that, since you asked me, he said, 90% of the time is this. 90%. Your words. Scripture says that God gave you the power to call things that are not as though they are. This is the power that God gave us in our tongue. I said before and I'll repeat it again. I think it's bears repeating again. The half-brother of Jesus, Santiago, James, knew something. He hung around his brother and learned some things. He wrote the book of James. And he wrote these words. He says, it is a mystery, he says, that we put bits in the mouth of an animal, and yet we put bits in it, and we can pull, and we direct him. We can guide him, left or right. That's what the bits in his mouth. It's amazing, he says. What's more amazing, he says, a ship being so massive, and you get to see a lot of ships being so massive against the current and the waves, he says, with a small little rudder, we can direct it against the wind. Mm-hmm. And it will not astray.
No.
You know? It'll go directly where you send it to. It's amazing, he says, that the tongue, being such a small member, yet it governs the whole body. He's talking about the power of the tongue. So what Proverbs says, you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. But God gave you the power in your tongue to speak. Somebody once told me, what do you think we're in the image of God made? I said, the only thing I can tell you, the closest thing, is that God gave us the power to be able to speak like He speaks. You say, and we know by the words that came out of His mouth that the world will frame by the words of God. In the first chapter of Genesis, for 10 times, go check it out, 10 times, you hear, and God said, 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 and every time He said something, something happened. The power. And you will say, Jesus said. And you will say. And as He said. And as He spoke. As He's saying. Just say the word. Amen. Remember the centurion? Amen. Just say the word. Yes. And the very hour that the word was spoken, His servant was healed. Chances are everything you've been confessing more than 10 years ago, today that's what you're living. Today. You're living today. Prophet, can I change my ways and for my healing? Of course you can. The best medicine is to speak positive. That's the best medicine you can ever have. You might want to write that one down. The best medicine you can ever have is to speak positive words. Speak, declare. I don't have this. I don't have, because a lot of times, well, my uncle, my mom was, my dad, they were drunkards, so I'm a drunkard. You know, they had sugar diabetes, so I have sugar diabetes. And these words, you're killing me. You're driving me crazy. You're taking me out the deep end. I don't know why you treat everybody different. Only me, you treat. Once a month. You love everybody, but you don't love me. Pastor likes everybody, checks everybody, but there's a lot of cancer in my family, so I guess I better get in line. No words. But the scripture says, Proverbs says, your words trip you. Your words are tripping you. Your words are powerful. Don't say that you can't. Say that you will.
Amen.
I can. I will. I love the way Trump talks.
Yeah.
Some of you might not like that one, but I love the way he says, oh, it's going to be wonderful. Oh, nobody's going to be there. Oh, it's going to be, you guys are going to get tired of me being president. I'm going to be so bored. You guys are going to be so bored of his being such a good president. Things are going to happen so good. We're going to be the greatest in the world. People are going to respect us again. Ah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
And if you're against this nation, you hate that. See, we've gotten to a routine of speaking negative. And that's where the enemy. I wasn't going to say this, but I'll say it. It took 1,000 years for the enemy to kill the first man. Read it in Genesis. It took him 1,000 years to kill the first man. Somebody said, why, prophet? Because he didn't know nothing negative. The enemy had to throw a whole bunch of negative things in front of him. And you see it as you go down the chapters. You see it as you go down, as you continue to read. He goes from 1,000, 900, 800. He's dying. 700, 500, 400, 200, 300. He's dying. When he gets to 150, 120, God says, stop. If man wants to live 70 years, come on somebody. And by reason of strengths, that he can live, to live his life. One day my mama's so sick. She's 69 years old. And they call me. I was very young then. In the Lord. Barely crawling. And they call me and they says, your mom is real sick. Have you ever been to Houston? I tell people, Houston is not big. Houston is a monster. You can actually, they tell you, you can actually get on one end of, when you're coming into Houston, look at your, you can look at your watch, and you can hit it, because you know when you're in Houston, because everybody speeds up. And you can hit it up to 75, 80 miles an hour for one solid hour, and you're still in the city. You can get a so massive, you can put New York and Chicago in area-wise inside of it. It's a monster. There's people like you wouldn't believe. Oh, my God. There's Mexicans. Build a wall. I was in Atlanta eating, right? All this Hispanic church turned out to eat with me, right? One little white, skinny little, poor little girl. Had to attend all, I think, 50 of us. It was like, always like 12 o'clock at night. She was faint. And I looked at her, and she looked at me. I could read it in her face. Build a wall. Please. I'll help you build it. Somebody say healing.
Healing.
Look a little like you, you know. Little petite there, you know, over there. Your words.
Yes. Very good.
My mom is on a gurney somewhere in this massive hallway. I'm going from gurney to gurney looking for. And then I heard a gasp and coughing. And I looked over and I could see two hands. I know my mama's hands. And I pulled back and said, Madre, Mom, what is wrong with you? And she'd come in and out of conscious. Her eyes would roll back. And the city's so massive, there's not enough, you know, nurses and doctors to go around. I mean, it's just not enough. The staff is overwhelmed. And I'm looking at it and I say, Madre, please, Madre. And finally she regained consciousness and she looked and goes, oh, mijo, son, mijo. I said, Mama, what's wrong with you? He said, mijo, ya me voy, I'm leaving, mijo. Where am I? What are you talking about? He said, mijo, siento que el alma se me va. My soul is coming out of me. I've gone through some, a lot of things, but I don't think I can handle this one. I said, Mama, don't talk like that. She said, mijo, promise me something. I said, what? Israel, take care of my younger brother, which has become actually a father to him. Take care of him. Okay, Mom. And as I'm talking to a team of nurses and came and took her, I don't know what to do, and that's all I have in my life. And I went to the chapel and in Yasier, I just fell on my knees and I then I remembered my God. I remembered, you understand, I didn't know much as a word. I was barely vegan. I was a businessman, and I didn't know much of the word. But I remembered the scripture. And I scrambled in this big old Bible that big enough to choke a mule, man. Where is it at? And then I found it in the Psalms. And my hand was shaking. And then I said, "Here, Lord, you said that we can live 70 years. My mama is 69. And I heard the Lord say clearly, say, go tell your mother that I have heard her prayer. That she will live. She's 80 years old.
Perfect. What's your name, Lord?
And my mama died last year at the age of 81.
Praise God.
Words.
Hear
that. I'm gonna leave you with this thought. Am I taking too long? Let me know. Just wait. I only got one day. I'm out of here. Okay, so. I might never come back again. So, raise your hand up in the air. Just raise your hand. Say, Lord, give us 10 more minutes. Hezekiah is dying. He's going to die. I mean, there is no way out of it. You've read the story before. King Hezekiah is dying. Some say that it was probably cancer, eating from the inside out. He can melt, stink. I mean, they're just, the odor and try to. Well, I see people, which is not enough that he's dying. God sends him a major prophet by the name of Isaiah to prophesy, thus saith the Lord. You will not live. But you will surely die. And when he comes into his chambers, he's laying there in his bed, and he tells him, set thy house in order. Arrange it. The guy is not even 40 yet. But surely you'll die and not live, says the Lord. And as the prophet leaves his chambers, the Bible says that Isaiah turned his head towards to the wall. I don't know if you've ever been here. Now you say, if the doctor says you're going to die, well, at least you can take it up with the Lord.
Yes, sir.
If some wizard in the neighborhood puts a curse on you and said you're going to die, well, you can have a nice little conversation with God.
Yes,
but what are you going to do when God sends you a major prophet? To tell you, thus saith God.
Wow.
It's a prophecy from God, not nobody man, that you're going to die and you're not going to live. I think you are against the wall. And the Bible said that he cried with a great cry unto the Lord. And he told the Lord three things. One, the Lord, remember that I have walked all the days of my life with you. I walked with you, God. too. Remember, Lord, that there is, I've had an upright heart. There's been no malice in me. I've held no grudges, even though when I had the right, sometimes you have the right, to hold a grudge for what they treated me and what they did to me. Remember that I never let it get to my heart. And somehow I found it in my heart to forgive. And there's integrity in my heart today, Lord. Three. This is so powerful, the third one. Remember that whatever you ever sent me to do, whatever you sent me to build, whatever project you put in my hands, whatever you entrusted it with me, remember that I did what you told me to do. When the prophet of God is in the middle of the courts, the voice of the Lord came in a command. He said, stop. And go back and tell the prince or the captain of my people two things. One, I have seen his tears. If you're like me, I don't know, maybe when we get to heaven, there's a whole bunch of barrels full of water, man. Just, oh, what is all this, Lord? These are all your tears. I harness every last one of them. What about that big one over there? That was the darkest day. Two. This was really gets me. The power of prayer is about to reverse. This is so powerful, man. Now, your prayer, when people try to curse you and say things to you, is a little problem. You got to be careful. People prophesying that God said and God said and God said. That's why people don't believe prophecy anymore, man. They learn to market the anointing of God, and people don't believe Him anymore. We got all these, I call them these bless me clubs now, you know. And we forget where God brought us to be servants of God, to His people. I tell people, it's just like the president that always promises a whole lot of things. As soon as he's inaugurated, he forgets what he promised. And it's all about himself. That's why people can't understand Trump, because everything he has promised, he's delivering it on. And trust me, I wasn't a Republican. I don't know what the heck I am. I just go for the best guy. That's what I always did. I come to find out that the way that I have been, because I didn't really know what I was. But now, according, looking back, I figured it out. Because this year, everybody was glued to the television, you know? And found out that somewhere, I guess I am a conservative. Love me or hate me, you know? Yeah. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Set your house in order, he said. For truly you will die, and you will not live. And when he comes back into the chambers, the Bible says that he doesn't grab the oil, the bottle, the horn of oil, however you call it. He doesn't lay hands on him. simply says to him, "The Lord has heard your prayer and seen your tears. 3 days from now, you will go up to the house of the Lord.
Yes.
And there the Lord will heal you." I like to think the conversation went a little different. The old king, "Look at me, old king. God has blessed you in abundance. And I know you can't afford to die right now. Because you got one kid that's 12 years old and the other one's 11. And they can't take over the kingdom. But God promised David, your father, that there always would be one descendant from David in the kingdom. And God has blessed you in abundance. But you know, O king, you can get on your chariot in 20 minutes, you're at the house of the Lord, but you never do. You never visit the house of the Lord. And look at you now." And the Bible says the next day, there goes a whole caravan. The whole nation, they're carrying and dragging him to church. Because that's sometimes the only way we're going to go to church is drag me to church, man. They're dragging him all the way down there. And when they're getting close to this ingenious, I'm almost done, ingenious, that city, there was this clock that was built. And I say ingenious because it was designed that when the sun would come up and the shadow would overshadow the first step. That was the first hour of the day. It was 6 o'clock. 7. The shadow continued. 8. 9. 10. 11. 12. And then at 12, it would start coming back. 1 o'clock. 2 o'clock. 3 o'clock in the evening. 4 o'clock. See? It was designed ingenious when the sun would come up. Cloudy day. I feel sorry for you, but... But clock's not working, you know. When they're coming close to the clock, you hear the king say to the prophet, "Stop." He says, "What is the sign that I am supposed to heal from this infirmity? What is disease?" Disease, look at that. He calls it disease. A lot of people don't know, man, but disease, they're God's servants. And wherever He sends them, they go. And when He commands them to come, guess what? He said, the sign is this, that if God said that you were going to heal, guess what? You're going to heal. This is where we come in. Just fast forward, 5,000 years or whatever, here we come. I need a confirmation. Oh, Father God. Sounds real religious, right? Oh, Father God, I need a confirmation. For some reason, every time you say Father God, your teeth come out. Father God. Some of you are going to shoot on it later on. Just, you don't get it, just grab it, put it in your pocket. And when you pull out your thing to put gas, there it is. He said, look at the clock. When you see the shadow, whatever hour, you let me know, and God's going to heal you. And here they went. 6 o'clock. 7 o'clock. 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock. he looks at the prophet, looks at the king, and king like, you know what that means? That even knowing that God can heal you, you still won't let go of it. You still won't forgive. You still won't bury the hatchet. And he'll preach to you and preach to you and preach to you day in, day out, month after month, and you still want to carry that thing. Then God tells you, let it go. Medical science that says almost 95% of the people that are sick is because they can't forgive. That's medical science, man. Finally, it goes to 10 degrees and he says, stop. That's easy. What, king? That's easy. The shadow always goes forward. Why don't you make it come back? This is why I tell you the power of Isaiah, that he could have healed him a long time ago, but God did not allow him to touch him. Because there's some things God has to deal with him. And sometimes God, even though he can heal you, but there's got to be some forgiveness, and you got to let go of some things. Some things you got to release them. So that God can heal you. And trust me, you can hold them so long that you can take them to your grave. Because I've seen it in my own family. Stubborn. No. I won't. On their deathbed. Deal. Forgive me, Theo. Dad, forgive me. Oh, you see a tear. But they will not. Said, make it come back. Man of God reaches and says, okay, Lord. You hear what he says. Stop the time. Make it come back. The sun. The earth. The moon. The people. For 10 hours. Everybody's going backwards. What are you saying, prophet? Don't tell me. Don't tell me God wants you sick. It's for one man. He will stop time to heal him. Don't you dare tell me that God wants you sick. That it is will for you to be sick. I understand what Ecclesiastes says. That it's time. La lampara, the lamp, the oil starts to go out. The strength of the tooth is not like where it used to be. You're scared of heights. You gotta go out. Old age. Start to creep in. I understand that. But God gives you 70 years to enjoy. And by reason of strength, you can live another 10. Whatever God gives you. I don't know. I think this is a good word.
Amen.
When they get, in closing, when they get to the temple, they grab some figs and they make like a dome. And they put it on the side. Instantly he healed. And he says, not only will the Lord do that, but from this day on, God can extend your years 15 years more. I want you to hug yourself right now. Just hug yourself and close your eyes. Just for a second. I want you to repeat to me, Lord, I claim the best 15 years of my life are ahead of me. I declare it, Lord. I'm not going to be laying around with no limbs. No, Lord, I'm going to be active, Father. I claim your healing power. Just as you did it for Ezekiah, Lord. You're going to do it for me now. Would you stand?